First reading is from Proverbs, the 9th chapter. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her 7 pillars. She has slaughtered her beast. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine that I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abused, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading from Ephesians chapter 5. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be associated with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light. Walk as children of the light, for the light, fruit of the light is found in all who do good and right and are true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as an unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what is the will of the Lord. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord for all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospels from John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give you for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever, Jesus said. These things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do not take offense at this. Then what is it if you were to see the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words have been spoken to you are spirit and life. And there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. May be seated for the end of the day. Soul unstained by sin, grant me the strength to do with ready heart and willing whatever you command, my calling here fulfilling, that I do what I should while trusting. From my lips be calling, but when within my place I must and ought to speak, then to my words give grace, lest I offend the weak. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Football games are always seen from a different angle in the minds of fans the morning after. We always call that the Monday morning quarterbacks, don't we? But sports fans are not the only ones who view life differently after it has already occurred. The gospel writer brought a Sunday morning quarterback in their understanding of the message and person of Jesus. John, we believe, wrote these words probably 40 to 60 years after Jesus was resurrected. He had had plenty of time to reflect upon Jesus' words. And there was probably an oral tradition that carried on the gospel from house church to house church. But think about how differently life might have been viewed by John, having lived most of his life a disciple of Christ and having feasted upon the bread of life probably every Sunday in Holy Communion. Think about how these words, that Jesus was the living bread from heaven, must have sounded when John actually put these words into writing, as opposed to when they heard them and just were confused by them originally. They needed the time of experience, time of reflection, and the power of the Holy Spirit to help bring these words into greater meaning for us. But the gospel writers aren't the only Monday morning quarterbacks. We also have a very different understanding of these words than we do when we first heard them, don't we? When we were all little in Sunday school and we heard about Jesus, and we could say that Jesus loves me, we could sing Jesus loves me, but as a child, that's a very different understanding than when we as adults confess that Jesus loves us and that Jesus gives to us his very body and blood in a sacrament that we have come to understand by our teaching and through the Holy Spirit. It's why we don't allow just anyone to come to communion. We want them to understand what Jesus means when he said, "I am the bread of life." And, you know, a lot of our churches are communing a lot younger these days. And I think that's probably a good idea. Commune younger and confirm a lot later. Why on earth we decided a 13-year-old could stand before a congregation and say that they will suffer even death to protect these words, to keep these words. I don't think at 13 anybody really can do that very well. We'll keep doing it probably, but I'm not sure it's a good idea. Think about in your relationship. And maybe that's in friendships, or maybe it's with a spouse. How is your relationship different 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years later? You know, my wife and I are 41 years, and we've kind of got used to one another, you know? We had the whole bathroom thing figured out. Now we're remodeling our bathroom, and I have a feeling we're going to have to settle into that, you know? Like, know what her space is and know what my space is. I know she'll get more space. But, you know, I remember what it was like when we first met each other and we both had stars in our eyes and we thought, you know, I thought the first day I saw her that I was going to marry her. Well, the second time I saw her. I didn't remember the first time. She had to tell me about the first time she met me. But and then, you know, I mean, some of it, you get used to one another. Some of it, I mean, we don't fight anymore about anything because we just ask Siri, you know. And she will be right, and I will be wrong. And that solved our fighting problem. You know, we'll have a little disagreement about something, and she'll say, ask Siri. And I will, and I'll be wrong. So time helps us. And I think it helped John having some time to think about words which, as a disciple, no doubt confused him. But having lived with this gospel and this living bread from heaven and this bread becoming body and wine becoming blood, certainly had a greater meaning for him. Luther taught us to ask the question, what does this mean? Too often, I think, we just memorize the things that Luther wrote down rather than try to understand what Luther meant when he wrote them. I know when I took confirmation, I always did my memory work between Isabel, Kansas, and Nashville, Kansas. It's 7 miles, and I always wanted Mom to drive slow. And I always wanted to be the first to do my memory work because it was leaking out of my head. And at the end of the day, as soon as confirmation, I couldn't have repeated that. You know, there was no other place that we were memorizing, you know. We didn't memorize anything in grade school. We didn't memorize poems. We didn't. You know, it would have probably helped if we had other memory work going on. I've heard, you know, a lot of us, and I think I alluded to this last week, that, you know, we try to fill up our emptiness with all kinds of stuff. And I thought about that, and, you know, all the times that I've been with a member, an individual, when I was a chaplain in the hospitals, I never once heard someone say, I wish I had more stuff. But I've heard them say, I wish I'd have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have stayed closer to my loved ones. Because we learn somewhere during our growing up time that all of our relationships have meaning for us and they bring us something. You don't have to end up on your deathbed to reflect upon the meaning of the gospel. You don't have to wait till the moment of your death to say, man, I wish I'd have spent more time reading my Bible or prayer or time with my family, my loved ones. The gospel empowers us to do that today, to find meaning in the words that Jesus spoke on the night in which he was betrayed. To know that in the sacrament we do receive the very body and blood of Jesus, and through that sacrament our faith is strengthened. Our connection with God is strengthened. Our relationships with one another are strengthened. Our sins are forgiven. And we live in this moment of time already a part of eternal life. So maybe as you lean back in your Monday morning quarterback recliner, look upon the true meaning of a living bread that came down from heaven for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.